What's going on, world? Welcome to another edition of Culture Connection. I am your host, Brother Malcolm, and thank you so much for listening in on another week where we talk about all things culture and artistic and things that will enrich your life. I want to thank all my loyal listeners for your support and all that you do to keep us afloat. You're greatly appreciated, and we don't take you for granted. This week, I wanted to just check in with you. It's been a while since we've had a chance to talk, and so much has happened over the past few weeks that I wanted to just sort of do a catch up with you. First, starting back in the top of the month, June 14th, I had the pleasure and honor, thanks to my dear friend and comrade, Mr. Johnny Mendez. Shout out to Johnny. I got a chance to go to the 49th commencement of the University of California at Irvine, where none other than POTUS himself, President Barack Hussein Obama, was the featured speaker, the commencement speaker. And it was such a special moment because, one, I had never heard the president speak live and in living color. You can do what you want and live in color. I'd never heard the president speak live in a living color, and I'd never had an opportunity to see him live. So it was just like, the president. And I mean, it's one of those moments where you're like, as a black person in America, you kind of, before he's done, you kind of want to see him live. You kind of want to be like to your kids. I mean, I wasn't at the inauguration. I wasn't at the in Grant Park. But I did hear him speak at the 49th commencement of the UC Irvine from the suites. So it was amazing. I mean, from the moment that the whole process of the president arriving is so cool, like three like Apache helicopters come ahead of Air Force Two, I think it's called. I may be getting that wrong. Forgive me for those who know presidential protocol, and I don't. But I think it's called Air Force Two. The helicopter, his helicopter, which comes after those Apache helicopters. So it's like they light the way and they make sure the air traffic, I guess, is clear, which when the president is around, all air traffic is cleared anyway. But his helicopter comes and there's two of them, and you see the green and white helicopter, like the Hunter green and white helicopter, and everyone in the stadium just starts going crazy because it was at Angel Stadium, which I believe holds about 40,000 people. And it was, you could just feel the excitement was palpable. And what they decided to do was make sure that the graduates came in. And, you know, when the president of the United States, the first person of color, the first non-white man, leader of the free world comes to speak, you pretty much want to be there. And this procession of graduates and faculty must have taken an hour. I was like, okay, how many people are graduate? The graduates took up the whole field of Angels to the outfield. I mean, it was insanity. And I'm not mad. You know, I'm sure people were on that field who are not graduating for another year, but they're like, I'm walking this year to see the president. So it's really cool. I mean, one of the things I will say, you know, he arrives and he comes on the dais and everyone's going crazy and he's chill. He's so like chill. He's got his own presidential robe that has the presidential seal. He doesn't even wear, I don't even think he wears his college colors and robe, because he's a Juris Doctorate, so he would have on doctoral robes like the other doctoral candidates and some of the professors. But anywho, when he began to speak, first of all, there were two student speakers who were phenomenal. It was fantastic. It was great. The undergraduate speaker was a Latina who was I think she was the first from her class to graduate from college, and her parents were you know, from Mexico, and that whole story, and it was fantastic. And then he had a graduate student. And then President Obama spoke, and he was very charming and funny, and, you know, he had gotten all the right lines together. And it was interesting because he first started off by talking about how he was invited to speak. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but the last sitting president to speak was Lyndon B. Johnson at the opening of the university. And he came and spoke at UC Irvine right after the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. So this was a historic moment. I was definitely proud to be a part of this historic moment. And what was interesting was he started off with just, it was so easy and laid back. And then he got into like the commencement meet and it was very political. And I forgot I was listening to a politician because I'm like, oh, the president, he's cool. He's talking about this. He's talking about, you know, their mask guy. He's talking about how, you know, 10,000 letters were sent to him to invite him to be the commencement speaker. And apparently his personal assistant is an alumni of UCI. So that sort of obviously sent it over and he couldn't turn down the request. But his speech was pretty much about, you know, clean energy, about jobs and green energy. And I just, I'm not going to lie, I was a little disappointed. But he's a politician, and what are you going to do, you know? I wanted to hear some "you can do it" speech. But, of course, he brings it all back around to saying, because it got really gloomy and gloom and doom at one point. And I just was like, well, this is a downer. And then he was like, I don't say all this to be a downer, but I say this to say, we need you. I was like, okay, that makes me feel ready to take on the world. And then in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, President Obama, there aren't only environmentalists and engineers and bioengineers. And, you know, they're like people like me. They're graduating from the theater department. They're lawyers. They're historians. There are English majors. They're just a plethora of majors and fields and sciences. And it was just so focused on his political agenda at this point in his career. So, I mean, needless to say, I was like, oh, okay. It wasn't the most rousing, inspiring speech ever. But, hey, I got to hear the president speak. So that was cool. As recent as last week, I had the opportunity to attend a really, really phenomenal conference called the Theater Communications Group National Conference. This year's theme, Crossing Borders. And TCG, for short, the conference this year was in San Diego, California, and it was at the most beautiful hotel I think I've seen in a while, the Hilton Bayfront, right off the bay with views of the Coronado Bridge to the south and the San Diego Bay and downtown to your north. I mean, it was just stunningly beautiful. And this conference is an annual conference that brings together theater practitioners from across the country and some around the world to discuss all issues pertaining to the theater. From a big topic this year was diversity and inclusion, which I'm very proud to say I was on a panel about transforming theaters with tangible solutions to diversity and inclusion. It was a very popular panel. I was also a facilitator of an affinity group, specifically the affinity group for the Black African-American, African diaspora, those who identified as that. And I was just extremely proud to be a part of this conference, and the people that I met there really encouraged, inspired, and really have me motivated to be an incredible, incredible practitioner, not only in theater, but in my new business. Shout out to MKD Arts Management, a boutique management firm where we believe in being artistic strategists for your career. I just gave myself a free plug. I don't know if that's ethical. It is ethical. It's my show. anyway, hit us up on Twitter at MKD Arts MGMT, and you can learn more about our company. But anyway, I digress. The TCG conference this year, the idea of crossing borders was, one, it's the first time in the history of the conference that part of the conference was in another country. So the pre-conference took about 100 or so individuals to Tijuana, Mexico, to do a whole pre-conference. They spent 17 hours, I think, in Mexico with practitioners, Mexican practitioners, artists, academics, doing an exchange of ideas and work and whatnot. And while I was not privy to that part of the pre-conference, I was privy to another part of another pre-conference that involved some brilliant individuals from the Leadership University, from the Fox Fellowship, and what I was a part of as an alum, the Young Leaders of Color. And just out of respect for these brilliant, brilliant human beings, I really want to speak all of their names and tell you a little bit about them. The Leadership University is a one-on-one program that seeks to identify exceptionally talented early career theater professionals who will impact the theater field in a positive way and have a commitment to working full time with a performing arts organization. The program supports early career leaders in all areas of theater, which is great, including but not limited to acting, administration, management, craft areas, design, directing, dramaturgy, literary management, producing, stage management, and technical production, to name all of them. And they're supported by the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation. The Mellon Foundation is a great foundation, by the way. If you don't know about them, they support so many amazing, specifically artistic endeavors, and I'm down with the Mellon. So in Leadership U this year, you had Diana Bursky, you had Amanda Diamond, Matt O'Hare, Seema Sueko, Quentin Talley, a.k.a. Q, and Maureen Towie. And when I tell you these brilliant, brilliant artists are just, they're names you should look out for. Diana is... was the board chair for Fourth Wall, the Denver Theater Center. Amanda was the group leadership fellow at Looking Glass Theater Company. Matt O'Hare is a sound and video designer for the Builders Association. Seema, I know well, is the associate artistic director at Pasadena Playhouse. Q is an actor, director, poet, producer, founder of Q Performing Arts, and worked with Penumbra Theater Company. And Maureen is an extraordinary director, an ensemble member of Sojourn Theater, and worked at Berkeley Rep. In addition, the Fox Foundation Resident Actor Fellows were involved, and these are fellows who are supported because of their artistic and professional growth in collaboration with the TCG member theater. And they were Nora Cole, who was with Jiva Theater Center, Andre, the infamous and Tony Award nominee, Andre DeShields with Victory Gardens Theater, Maggie Lacey with Cleveland Playhouse, my brother Godfrey L. Simmons Jr. with Epic Theater Ensemble, Civic Ensemble, and Bruce Turk of Hartford Stage were part of this group of folks who were part of a pre-conference moment where we learned everything about art as it relates to money and time management, about creating our maps, about creating our own journey, and recognizing that everybody's map in life looks different, and that every journey that you go on, you're creating a map that someone could look at and possibly try and follow. But ultimately, when people are on maps, they usually end up doing their own, taking their own journey when looking at a map. I hope that makes sense. The Young Leaders of Color program, which I'm very proud alumni, was created in 08 to gather groups of young theater professionals of color from around the U.S. at TCG's national conferences to engage in dialogue about the new generation of leadership. And I'm so proud to say that I'm a member of this and have an amazing cohort. But the folks who were there this year were Akiba Abaka of Arts Emerson, Sarah Bellamy, the co-artistic director of Penumbra Theater Company, Katie Barang, artistic director of Voices United. We had Desdemona Chang, director of Azeotrope, Alejandra Cisneros, a director out of Los Angeles, Mika Cole, artistic associate at Oregon Shakespeare Festival. We had myself, founder and CEO of MKD Arts Management, Allison De La Cruz, of East West Players and Evoke New Works Festival. We had Christopher Diaz, playwright. There was also Reggie Edmond, playwright out of Chicago. We had Kenesha Foster, associate artistic director of Second Story at Teatro Vista. We had Patricia Garza, the new play production manager at Center Theater Group. There was also Jackie E. Lawton, who's a playwright dramaturg, and she was the diversity and inclusion online curator at this year's festival. Alexandra Meda, who is the artistic director of Teatro Luna. Shout out to Alex. She just moved to L.A. We'll be talking to her in the near future. A new brother of mine, David D. Mitchell, who is the assistant artistic director at Arena Players and also a board member. We had An Nguyen, who I believe An is at the artistic director at Chance Theater. We also had, I'm almost done, people. I'm almost done. Sam Roberson, the artistic director of Congo Square Theater Company, a really, really awesome dude, Chantal Rodriguez, or also I call her Dr. Rodriguez. She's the program director and adjunct professor at Latino Theater Company. In addition, Tony Sancho was there. We had, and Tony is an actor, an amazing teaching artist. Shanta Kriegsman, director at Joe's Pub at the Public Theater. Yolanda Williams, shout out to Yolanda, who represented the South, a director and adjunct professor at Jackson State University, Mississippi. And Chiwang Yang, associate artistic director of CalArts Center for New Performance. And I wanted to say all of those names because these are leaders in the field who are really having impact on our field and really making a significant difference in the fight for diversity and inclusion. And when people say there's a pipeline issue, this list tells us that there is not and that there are great people who are in the field. And so wanted to give a shout out to that moment. It was a life-changing, life-inspiring, and life-moving moment. Next, I wanted to just wrap up with, I just realized that there's some good stuff coming up. And July 4th weekend, the infamous, and it was dormant for a year, but it's back. Solnik is coming back to Los Angeles. And it's no longer going to be in Griffith Park. It's going to be at Grand Park. And I wanted to bring on the head Negro in charge of this charge, the Negress. She's gone on vacay. And I guess, you know, woman gets a little bump and she all of a sudden can't record with me. So I'm putting her on notice that just because you're expecting don't mean you can't hang with her, brother. Negress, I know you're going to listen to this. Come back on your post. You ain't got to do nothing but sit here and get on the mic. My God. Anyway, we love the head Negress in charge and we wish her well during this awesome time. But always here and always able to fill in is the head Negro of this charge. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to welcome to the mic for a few moments, Brother Chris Lehman.
What's going on, y'all?
Chris is particularly in bliss right now because he is celebrating the championship of his beloved San Antonio Spurs. So get your shout out.
You know this, 2014, payback is a mother.
I was tweeting Chris all during the game. I was like, I'm very happy for you. I am I'm a avid, staunch Lakers fan, but I have to give it up. The Spurs did it, and I was happy. I wanted them to beat the Heat. So congratulations to you, and well-deserved. And, yeah. So, Chris, you went to Solnik with before, and I just wanted you to just – can you tell us about, like, what's it like – I imagine it might be a little different now that it's not in a park and it's at Grand Park. And it's just, it seems like it's going to be a little different because when I look at the video, it looks dope. It looks like there's DJs, vendors, people barbecuing, people got their blankets, got their family, kids are dancing. Like, what was the overall vibe that you got from Solnik you guys are going this year, right? Is that the plan?
Yeah, our plan is to go again. Uh-huh. Yeah, at Grand Park. I mean, it was cracking. I mean, they had the DJs there pretty much all day spinning. Mm-hmm. It was like a big open dance floor area. People put their tents and blankets all around the DJ booth, like one huge circle.
Wow.
People had they barbecuing. And, you know, it's like a big park, so people out there playing. They have stuff for the kids. Mm-hmm. Folks is grilling, just hanging out, doing whatever, just dancing and vibing to the music from like 9 to 9.
Wow. So it's like an outdoor dance party for 12 hours.
Yeah. And from what I gather for this one downtown, I think it's pretty much it starts at 6, she told me. I think Casey said it doesn't start as early. I
think it's 6 p.m.?
Yeah. I think that's
from 6 p.m. Oh, wow.
Or at least, they put it like late afternoon. Or it's like, I think it's from 4. Let me not say. I think it's from 4.
4 to like 10 or something?
Hopefully a little later than that.
I know 4 to midnight would actually be good.
Yeah.
So basically, so this is going to shift because it's not going to necessarily probably be about queuing and cooking and stuff. It's probably just going to be about like having a late afternoon, early evening dance party.
Yeah. Show. It wasn't on the 4th of July before. So when we first noticed it, it was like, wow, this is a little strange. But No, it works out. I guess they figure people can get their queue on early in the day and then.
I mean, I wonder if you could come down and. Well, I guess you can't because it's a public park. I don't know how Grand Park works like that. Yeah. Because it's on county facility and it is a park, though, but.
It is a park, but.
So, I mean, well, I don't know. I have not seen any signs that say no barbecuing. So yeah. They may get for the first time folks just doing their thing and bring. I think that would be cool, you know? Bring out your grill and and cook your meat. I mean, you know, hopefully your meat and all that stuff is at a perfect cooking temperature. We don't want anybody getting any E. coli or anything like that. But what would you say for people who've never been, what would you say was like what you enjoyed the most about the event or like what should they be prepared for?
I enjoyed it. Well, one, first off, the music, all the DJs do a great job. It was like 9-10 DJs. And I think every hour or two, they would just rotate out. Mm-hmm. Those come in great. You know, soul music, electronic, you know, all of that.
Is there house?
Yeah, play house too. Okay. House music. You just go there and have fun. It's just the vibe was great. Everybody was getting along. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't feel any animosity or people getting jealous or none of that. It's just folk coming together as, you know, one big family.
That's dope. And it is a family event, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I may have found what I'm going to do for July 4th. I may be hanging out with the Laymans. I'm going to tag along. I'm not ashamed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you just want more information, Solnik will be this year at Grand Park, which is off of Temple, between Grand and I want to say Spring. Spring is where City Hall is. Grand is where the Music Center is. The park extends the whole length of those streets in between Spring and Grand. And it is not to be missed. If you're looking for a nice event to go to with the family, chill outside. The weather will probably be wonderful, gorgeous. Highly encourage you to attend. So thank you very much for tuning in this week. It was just a check in, tell you what's going on. These are the things I've been doing. These are things I've been up to. These are the things I'm going to. We're looking forward to having more guests on the show. And please give us your feedback about the show. How are we doing? Do you like it? Do you want to hear more? Are we boring you? What do you need? We are here to serve you. I'm so grateful for this opportunity. As always, I want to thank my dear brother, Brother Chris Layman, the baddest, coolest engineer producer on the podcast planet.
Appreciate it.
Please reach me at Cali Yaley, CaliYaley, and we are at blackisonline.com. Shout out to all the shows we have. Please check us out, blackisonline.com. We have so many shows and podcasts going right now. I don't want to run through all of them, but I want to give love to all my fellow podcasters and the Black Is Online family. And until we meet again, remember to make a career out of humanity. Commit yourself to the noble struggle for equal rights. You will make a greater person of yourself and a greater nation of your country. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And until next time, may you be blessed. May you experience peace. And may we see and talk to each other again. Peace.